Have you ever stared up at fireworks and then closed your eyes? Do you remember what happens when you do that? Even after you have closed your eyes, the image of the fireworks remain. They are so seared into your perception that even when you are no longer seeing them, that is what's right in front of you. I think of that image as we explore our scripture readings today. The passage that Jan read is so beautiful, but also seems rather arbitrary. When Elijah tells Elisha to ask for what he wants, Elisha says, "Please let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." Elijah responded, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken up from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." What Elijah is saying here is, if you've been so focused on me while I've been here that you can even see me when I'm gone, my spirit will indeed remain with you. Another way of hearing that would be, have you really been paying attention, or have you been focused on me and my ways or your own agenda? While it may seem prideful of Elijah, he knows that his essence won't remain if Elisha has been just giving him lip service. Then we look at today's gospel, and it sounds incredibly harsh. To those trying to follow Jesus, Jesus first scoffs at the first one. And then to the second, who says, "I'll follow you as soon as I've buried my father," Jesus says, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Then yet another says, "I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to the people at home." And Jesus' response is, "No one who puts hand to plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." No one who goes back home to finish their business is fit for the kingdom of God? Finish up your work at home and you're not fit for the kingdom? Wait a minute. One of the things that I love about the lectionary is that the Hebrew scripture and the gospel text are chosen to fit with one another and shed light on one another. So the story of Elijah passing on his spirit to Elisha is chosen to inform this gospel passage about following Jesus. When we understand that, then these two can start to blossom with one another. If the story about Elijah and Elisha is about focus, maybe the story about Jesus is too. When Jesus says, "Let the dead bury the dead," and "No one who puts hand to plow is fit for the kingdom of God," he's saying that we're always going to be able to find excuses. We're always going to be able to find ways to not follow. We're always going to be able to say, as soon as my career is established, as soon as the kids are grown, as soon as I don't have my mom and dad to look after anymore, as soon as I have the resources, as soon as these projects are finished. What are your as soon as? That wasn't accusatory. I have them too. This week, our nation celebrates Independence Day, which of course is about much more than independence. It's become a celebration of our national ethos, a celebration of who we are. When I was growing up, we were taught that the United States was about independence and freedom, but also about being proud to be a melting pot. We were taught that being in the United States meant equal opportunity under the law. We were taught that the genius of the Constitution is due process. Reagan used biblical language to teach us that the United States is a shining city on a hill whose benevolence radiates out to the rest of the world. Yet others used the verse from Luke 12, to those to whom much has been given, much is required. We were taught that because we have been blessed, we are required to be a blessing. What other good moral teachings about our country should we lift up today? What else were we taught that it means to be the U.S.? This isn't rhetorical. I'd love to hear your answers. What were we taught? What are the good moral underpinnings of what we were taught this nation is meant to be? Welcoming. Freedom of speech. Generous. All of these, and the things that you're holding deep in your hearts because you're afraid that I might not hear, you might need to speak in church. All of those are the things that we hold dear. These are all good and godly things to focus on, and they're very much principles that also help us focus on Jesus. The Right Reverend Michael Hun is the Episcopal Bishop of the Diocese of the Rio Grande. His diocese encompasses 40% of the U.S.-Mexico border. He has border patrol agents and people who are undocumented in his churches. The stats are that his congregants are almost equally split, Democrat and Republican. And in an article in Sojourners magazine on Thursday, he says that the treatment of children in detention centers at our borders is not a political issue, it is a moral issue. Whatsoever you do to the least of my people, you do unto me. Do unto others as you would have done unto you, or to tweak that ever so slightly, do unto others' children as you would have done unto yours. Or a little more modern take, if you ever wondered what you would do during slavery or the Holocaust or the Civil Rights Movement, you're doing it. Hun names a number of things that we can do right away. First, stop treating children at the borders as criminals. He says that the churches and social service groups on the border are poised to help with diapers and toothbrushes and soap and food. Furthermore, he points out that while churches aren't the long-term solution, they have blankets and pillows today. Talk to me after worship if you'd like ideas on how to help those particular direct service organizations. Second, he advocates for changing the way we treat children and asylum seekers from being criminals to being survivors of trauma in need of care. We can treat this humanitarian crisis as what it is, a humanitarian disaster with disaster relief. I would add a third principle, transparency. We live in the information age. Amazon can tell me the exact moment that a package was dropped off for me, and some of you have refrigerators who can order eggs when you're low. There is no way that we should be able to lose a child. In the long term, Hun suggests we also need a better system to tell the difference between criminals and asylum seekers, more judges, more social workers, more interpreters, more administrative support, and we need a thorough investigation into this situation so that no child will ever again be treated with neglect and disrespect at the hands of the United States government. Now is not the time to make children pawns in an election game. This is not a partisan issue. This is a moral issue, and not a complicated one. We must balance our need for safety, strong border enforcement protecting the U.S. from drug traffickers and sex traffickers and arms dealers, with a compassionate response to refugees and those seeking asylum. I started out this week asking myself, what do Elijah, following Jesus, the 4th of July, and Duke Ellington have in common? The answer came down to focus. Keeping the prophet and Jesus in focus. Keeping our American ideals in focus. Sorry, the Duke didn't get a lot of airtime from me today. His music will have to speak for itself. Except to say that in regard to focus, music keeps us on track. It keeps us within range. It allows variations, but within patterns. In our gospel today, Jesus had heard all of the excuses. They said that they'd follow him once everything else was squared away. Let the dead bury the dead. Once I just go home and say goodbye. Friends, today is the day, and now is the hour. To do justice now. To love kindness now. To walk humbly with our God. Now, to treat others' children as we would treat our own. Now, stay focused on this, and there is no doubt that you will be following Jesus. Amen.